On the other days, he had carried them around with him during boring wanderings through the business district in the quarter. But by 3 o'clock, he was so tired from the marathon of strolling that he hardly had the enthusiasm to negotiate his day's business. And in 2 hours of being carried, the wrapping on the packages got damp and started to break. If one of those packages broke open on the street, he could plan to spend the next few years in a juvenile detention home. Why had that undercover agent tried to arrest him in the restroom? He hadn't done a thing. That agent must have had some sort of detective ESP. Finally, George thought of a place that would at least guarantee him some rest and a chance to sit down. St. Louis Cathedral. He sat in one of the pews next to a bank of vigil lights and decorated his hands, his packages stacked beside him. When his hands were done, he picked a missal from the rack before him and looked through it, refreshing his dim knowledge of the mechanics of the Mass by studying the drawings of the celebrant as he moved through the devotions. The Mass was really very simple, George thought. Until it was time to leave, he flipped back and forth through the missal. Then he gathered up his packages and went out onto Chartres Street. A sailor leaning against a lamppost winked at him. George acknowledged the greeting with an obscene gesture of his tattooed hands and slouched off down the street. As he passed Pirate's Alley, he heard screaming. There in the alley, the crazy hot dog vendor was trying to stab a fairy with a plastic knife. That vendor was really far out. George paused for a second to look at the earring and scarf that were heaving and bobbing while the fairy shrieked. That vendor probably didn't know what day it was or what month or even what year. He must have thought today was Mardi Gras. Just in time, George saw the restroom undercover agent coming down the street behind the sailor. He looked like a beatnik. George ran behind one of the arches of the ancient Spanish governmental building, the Cabildo, and dashed through the arcade out onto St. Peter Street, where he continued running until he reached Royal and headed uptown to the bus lines. Now the undercover agent was prowling around the cathedral. George had to give it to the cops. They were really on the ball. Christ, a guy didn't have a chance. So his mind returned to the matter of storage. He was beginning to feel like some escaped convict hiding out from the cops. Where now? He climbed on an outbound Desire bus and pondered the matter while the bus swung around and headed out on Bourbon Street, passing by the Night of Joy. Lana Lee was out on the sidewalk giving the jig some directions about a poster he was putting up in the glass case on the front of the bar. The jig flipped a cigarette that would have set Miss Lee's hair on fire if it hadn't been aimed by a master marksman. As it was, the butt sailed over Miss Lee's head with about an inch to spare. These jigs were really getting smart. George would have to ride into one of their neighborhoods one of these nights and toss a few eggs. He and his friends hadn't done that in a long time, driving along in someone's souped-up car and splattering whatever jigs were stupid enough to be standing out on the sidewalk. But back to the matter of storage. The bus crossed Elysian Fields before George came up with anything. There it was. It had been before him all the time, and he just hadn't realized it. He could have kicked himself in the shins with the stiletto toes of his flamenco boots. He saw a nice, roomy, weathertight metal compartment, a mobile safety deposit box that no undercover agent in the world, however crafty, would think of opening. A safe vault operated by the biggest patsy in the world. The bun compartment in that oddball vendor's wagon.